Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to join me for the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude the message I've been sharing this week on Keys of the Kingdom. And just by way of quick review, we began by looking at that opening scripture, Revelation 3:7, that talks about Jesus, who is the true and faithful witness, who has the key of David, who can open what no one can shut, and shuts what no one can open. And He opens a door of salvation to us. He opens the door of our hearts. God opens the door of the Word of God. He opens doors of service. And of course, He also opens the door of heaven and the windows of heaven. And if at any point you miss a broadcast, please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, where you can re-listen to a broadcast or catch up on one that you may have missed. I can't take the time to go into all the scripture references. But He also shuts doors that no one can open, such as the floodgates of wrath. Remember when there's a time when those who lived in the generation of Noah, after he had preached righteousness, they refused to hear him. And so they were, when that door was shut, there was no one that could enter that ark except for Noah and his family. He shuts the door of opportunity, as we see to the foolish virgins who were unprepared when the bridegroom came. And also, He shuts the gates of hell. There's a great gulf fixed that no one can pass over. There's a reference of that in Luke, the 16th chapter, with Lazarus and the rich man. And so we've also been looking at keys that are mentioned in the New Testament. There was the key to the sky, referring to the sky of the heaven, where rain would not be allowed to come during the time of Elijah, and that'll also be true during the time of the two witnesses as they're prophesying in Jerusalem. There's also the key of death and of Hades, which the Lord holds. There's the key of the pit of the abyss. That's the bottomless pit. And that pit represents like a deep entrance into regions of the abyss, in which there's smoke, and of course that's symbolic of blinding delusion. But here evil spirits are imprisoned. And in these references, an angel has the authority delegated by God and power and permission to open it so that demonic locusts can blight the earth. Then there's key to the abyss. That's distinguished from the one I just mentioned, and that's a reference found in 21 of Revelation, and that's the power to shut it. And that indicates where Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and he will not be allowed to leave until he is released. Then, in terms of our keys that are available to us as men, we hold the key of knowledge, which were basically, for Israel, they were the scribes and were considered as stewards of the treasures of divine wisdom. And then, of course, a New Testament reference to the believer today, keys of the kingdom, which, remember when Jesus was asking His disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so we've been given the power to bind and loose. We've been given basically the key of knowledge, or the key of doctrine, and the church has been empowered to preach what is good and what the Lord requires of them by opening the Word of the Lord. And also there's the key of discipline. And that's an application of the key of doctrine to particular individuals, and it estimates and evaluates their character and actions. So in rabbinic language, to bind and to loose were regular terms which would either forbid something or permit something. And so These words were conferred upon the apostles, the power of legislation to establish ordinances for regulating the affairs of the church and for deciding questions of Christian duty, and a power which, of course, we see Peter exercising along with other elders at the Jerusalem conference. Remember, that was Acts 15, a very important time when there was a dispute and a lack of agreement as to how the Christian message should be presented. And Paul came, and it was basically decided that the Gentiles did not have to observe the Jewish customs, such as circumcision. That was the real issue, because there were those Orthodox Jews who were believers and said, nope, you got to be circumcised. And so that was a very important conference that established what the Gentiles were to follow. And of course, that was to abstain from things strangled, from blood, and from immorality. So what can we say now in terms of these keys that have been given to us, the church? What application can we apply to our lives? And there's a broader sense or a wider spiritual application of the keys of the kingdom. In Matthew 18 and 18, it says that our binding and our loosing is dictated by heaven. And it's very interesting, the pronouns that are used there reference all of us, because those pronouns are plural. All are addressed for the you, that's plural. And so, beloved, just as we're all able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation, and so we can, through our prayers and through our obedience to the Lord, open a door of faith. Paul and Barnabas, you remember, through their preaching, God opened this door to the Gentiles. In fact, it's very exciting, because in Acts, the 14th chapter, there's Peter opened the doors of the church. Obviously, we saw that on the day of Pentecost, if you will. God had given him those doors. And then in Acts, the 14th chapter, let me turn to that, verse 27, the word says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." So there's a reference to the door of faith. And of course, and we see in Acts, the 10th chapter, at Caesarea, the same door was opened to the Gentiles. And there, in verses 33 through 38, it talks about Peter. He opened his mouth, he was preaching to Cornelius, and of course they were hanging on every word, and as they were preaching, while he spake these words, the word says, "The Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And of course, at that point, they were baptized. So it was their believing confession of Christ that empowered them to proclaim terms of forgiveness, to be saved through personal confession, repentance from sin, and seeking Christ. There's a reference in John, the 20th chapter, verses 21 through 22. "And Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.'" So we can also, along with opening that door of faith, open a door of spiritual victory through prayer. By our knowledge of Scripture, every one of us have the privilege of knowing what is and what is not the Lord's will. Jesus has given the keys of the kingdom into the hands of his disciples. That's you and me, although, of course, he still retains the highest administration of them. We have not the right to alter the essentials of the gospel or the fundamental principles of morality. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 14 and 15 say, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, beloved, the Lord has given us spiritual authority and power, just as much as he gave to Peter. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And beloved, we have that same authority. It has not been removed from us. And that allows us, through our faith, through our prayer, through our declaration, to see doors of opportunity open, doors of faith, hearts to be open, hearts to be touched. We have in our hands the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How can we act with such authority? Well, because Jesus gave it to us. Think of this. We are on the earth, and we are the body of Christ. Through his presence within us, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yet, as a corporate body, if you will, we are an extension of Christ himself. We are his body. He is our head, and he directs us. But he acts through his body. That's through you and me. And we have that power, administrative power from heaven on high, to bind and to loose authoritatively according to the word of God. And so, realizing this, how fully do we need to be committed to his lordship, and how fully we need to obey him. And as we respond to Jesus' direction, his kingdom continues to express its presence on earth. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this authority that you have given to each and every believer. And Father, I pray that we will walk in that authority, that anointing, that we shall bind and loose as you have declared, since you've given us the keys of the kingdom. And Lord, that we will see your will accomplished on this earth as it is done in heaven. For you will receive the glory. Thine is the power and the glory and the kingdom. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to minister and to share this teaching on the keys of the kingdom. And I pray that you've been blessed as we have gone into the word of the Lord. Now, I invite you to tune in next time. We'll just see what the Lord has for us. Thank you for listening. The announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.